Blog Talk Radio.
I was sitting outside on a rock. As Stan said, I showed him the rock when he came to my home. And I was just thinking, what did I do? I was crying so my family wouldn't see me. And all of a sudden, I saw a light coming towards me. When I saw the light, I thought it was a car. Because in Romania and in Italy, they always try to run me over with cars. So I thought, they found me here too. But it was not a car. The light surrounded me. And out of the light I heard the same voice. It was the same angel. Dumitru, why are you so despaired? Why did you punish me so harshly? What did I do? Why couldn't you let me stay in prison? But my family would have had a home. I don't have a bed to lay my head down on. Why was I brought here? Dumitru, I brought you to this country because this country will burn. So why did you bring me here to burn? Why didn't you let me die in jail in my own country? He said, Dumitru, be quiet. Get beside me. I don't know what the device was, but he pulled me beside him and he showed me all of California. Do you see what I've shown you? This is a Sodom and Gomorrah. Their sins have reached God, and God has decided to punish them by fire. He came and showed me Las Vegas. This is a Sodom and Gomorrah, and one day it will burn. He came and showed me New York. This is New York. This is a Sodom and Gomorrah. In one day it will burn. And then he showed me Florida. This is Florida. This is a Sodom and Gomorrah. And in one day it will burn.
You've been listening to the Wake Up America message with Dumitru Dudeman. For a copy of this very important message, please go to our website at handofhelp.com. Never before in the history of our country has our nation been in more jeopardy than now. Please order a copy of the video Wake Up America at the handofhelp.com website and get the warning out while we still have time. This is the Light of Truth radio broadcast with Michael Boldea.
Welcome to the program and thank you for joining us. This is the Light of Truth radio broadcast. I am your host, Michael Boldea, and this program is not live, but it is fresh. We're recording it a day early because my daughter has graduation tomorrow, and she asked, Daddy, are you going to be there? And since we could record a day early, I thought I would be a horrible, horrible father if I said no. I have to go into the studio. So here we are. It's been an eventful week already. I'm already exhausted, to be perfectly honest with you. And it's just Wednesday for me. So I can just imagine how exhausted you'll be by tomorrow night. We're going to talk about culture today. I think it's apropos because Our culture is rotting, and that's putting it mildly. It's already rotted, infested, pus-filled, with maggots crawling all over it. And if average, everyday Christians don't engage, if they refuse to roll up their sleeves and actually get into the battle, if they refuse to do the hard thing and stand up for the truth, it will not get better. It will get exponentially worse. I ran across two stories this morning. One of them has to do with the church and another with an admitted pedophile and rapist running for Congress in Virginia. You heard correctly. And we're going to get into that story, and I'm going to tell you why it's important, because every issue, I guess is the best way I can put it, has a watershed moment. With homosexuality, it was Harvey Milk. He was the watershed moment for the abomination known as homosexuality. It's very possible that this very evil person running for Congress in Virginia will be the watershed moment for pedophilia, because it's being pushed now on all fronts. Look, they already won the homosexual war. There's churches that are actively celebrating abomination. There's churches actively participating in gay pride parades. I know, it's Gay Pride Month. You shouldn't be talking about the homosexuals in Gay Pride Month. Why not? Does it make it less of a sin? Does it make it any less of an abomination because we've designated a month to their perversion for some unexplained reason? It doesn't. But see, they've already won that battle, and now they've moved on to the next thing. It's about sexualizing children now. It's about pedophilia. It's about accepting the grotesque beyond any imaginable thing. It's just, it's hard to put into words, because I don't know if I could abstain from permanently disfiguring this man if I ever saw him on the street, because he speaks openly about being a pedophile. He speaks openly and defends the idea. We'll get into it. It's grotesque beyond measure. But see, if decent people won't step up, evil people will. And this is how evil people come to rule a society. Because decent people won't do anything. We think it's beneath us to engage. We think it's beneath us to try to affect culture. It's not. I'm sorry, if you're too high-minded to understand that this is a battle that we must wage, then I pity you. Because there will come a day when you will be asked what you did with your talent. There will come a day when you will be asked how you used what God invested in you. Because we're not on this earth simply to pass the time in 70, 80 years, you know, go up to heaven. We're not supposed to be Jonahs, navel-gazing and eating popcorn, watching the world self-destruct. Especially if you have children, especially if you have grandchildren, especially if you have family that you know is going to outlive you. Do what you can. It's mandatory. It's not an option. Because even people that we consider our spiritual betters, even people in positions of authority in the church, have surrendered themselves to evil. Look, the words of Christ are coming to pass. There will be many false teachers and false prophets among you who will deceive many. Now, this article is a few weeks old, but it still needs to be told. It needs to be made public, because it wasn't. You see, this is one of the ways the enemy is smarter than us Christians. They suppress the things that they don't want you to know about, and they promote the things that they want you to know about. And so they establish the narrative. They form the story in such a way where if you oppose it, if you oppose the idea of transgender children or pedophilia or homosexuality or a dozen other things that are grotesque, you are branded a bigot and a homophobe and a transphobe. Now we just invent words. We're inventing words every week because people with mental disorders are now telling us what is and isn't acceptable. So the first thing I want to get into is the fact that what we call the church today, by and large, generally speaking, I'm generalizing here, please understand, but generally speaking, the church has failed. And it's failed in a monstrous way. Because rather than defend life, there are pastors and evangelists casting their lot in with death. Rather than defending holiness, there's pastors and teachers casting their lot in with sin. So this comes from lifenews.com, and it was published a couple weeks ago, and it says, Methodist, Baptist, Lutheran, Presbyterian, and United Church of Christ pastors sign letter supporting abortion. Tell me what's wrong with that sentence. I'm going to repeat it because it bears repeating. And if any of these Methodists, Baptists, Lutherans, Presbyterians, or United Church of Christ pastors still have jobs, if they're still shepherding people, then we've got no one to blame. Look, every single member of these churches should have walked out. When their pastor put pen to paper and signed their name to a letter supporting abortion, every single member of their churches should have walked out. Did it happen? I'm assuming not, because it would have been a national story, wouldn't it? So, not only do our shepherds support destruction, death, sin, and abomination, the sheep are perfectly fine with it. Let's call it what it is. Because I'm sick and tired of just yapping my jaw and talking about these things just over and over again. Let's call it what it is. The sheep are perfectly fine with their shepherds signing their names to a letter supporting abortion. Otherwise, they would have done something about it. So let's get into the body of the article and just go through some of this. It boggles the mind, is the best way I can put it. A group of Tennessee faith leaders and activists publicly declared their support for abortion on demand in a letter urging pro-life Governor Bill Lee to oppose heartbeat legislation. So this is not happening in California, is the first thing that we need to acknowledge. Let that sink in. It's Tennessee. What is or was once known as the Bible Belt. No longer. Not for a while. But this isn't happening in some liberal bastion. It's happening in Tennessee. So a group of Tennessee faith leaders and activists publicly declared their support for abortion on demand in a letter urging pro-life Governor Bill Lee to oppose heartbeat legislation. Guess what? Bill Lee signed it anyway. Because Bill Lee's not a pastor, he's not a preacher, he's not an evangelist, but he's a moral man who understands that abortion is murder. Why do you think that the godless are up in arms about people posting sonograms when opposing abortion? Look, Twitter just shut down a pro-life group's accounts because they keep publishing ultrasound images, and they said that unless those images are deleted, they will be banned permanently. Why? Because it's effective. Because in an ultrasound, you see that there are little hands and little feet. You see a face. You see a body, and you understand it's not a clump of cells. They know this. The ghouls know this. They know that it's a baby, and they don't care. Because abortion is a multi-billion dollar industry. And they're getting rich off of murdering babies and selling body parts and talking teenage girls into doing something that will haunt them for the rest of their lives. They don't care. They cloak themselves in this this caring sort of garment. Oh, it's for a woman's health and it's for a woman's well-being. Lying devils, they don't care. All they know is that the baby murder mills need to keep on chugging. Because not only is it lots of money, it's a way to spit in God's eye. It's a way to tell God that you may have started life in the womb, but we will end it. Look, I keep records very poorly. Let me put it that way. When it comes to my personal finances, checkbooks, check balancing, all this stuff, I'm very bad at doing that. But I do remember everything. I have an elephantine memory. And I remember certain things that started being reported by fringe outlets a couple years ago. And everybody was up in arms calling it either fake news or calling the people insane. And now, 2 years in, these things that were called insane and improbable are beginning to be proven. Look, it is now a proven thing that billionaires like Jeff Bezos and others are refreshing their blood with children's blood in the hopes of extending their life. If you would have talked about that 2 years ago, people would have called you Alex Jonesy. And yet here we are. It is demonstrable. It is true. It's undeniable because it has been confirmed. There is a cult of death in this country. And this cult of death is attempting to achieve immortality. That's to them the biggest thumb in God's eye. But see, they have to cloak themselves in sympathy and empathy. Don't you care for the poor girl? Why won't you allow women's reproductive rights? Because that's not what it is. It's not a reproductive right. It's the ending of a human life. And the reason Twitter is bent out of shape about ultrasounds being used to defend the pro-life position is because they are effective. And here you have faith healers or faith leaders from Tennessee not getting behind pro-life groups, people who are fighting against a system and a machine and billions of dollars in Hollywood and the music industry and everything else in between. No, 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 no. Why would they support life? They're, after all, just pastors, representatives of God, ambassadors of Christ, you know. No, no big deal. Why would they defend life? Instead, they publicly declared their support for abortion. Fox 17 in Nashville reports this month more than 150. Keep that number in mind. If you thought it was a couple guys, a couple, you know, universalists, a guy, you know, a couple guys from the Church of the Shroom or something, no. These are major mainline denominations, and it wasn't a handful of pastors. It was 150 religious leaders who signed the letter calling for abortions to be kept legal and easily accessible in Tennessee. And you wonder why the world has become the grotesque hell that it is? And you wonder why we're seeing all the things that we're seeing as far as culture is concerned? Because pastors won't stand for life. Because pastors won't stand for truth. Because over 150 religious leaders in Tennessee signed a letter insisting and calling for abortions to be kept legal and easily accessible. Flip a coin. What are you going to do today? Buy some Tic Tacs or kill a baby? If you don't feel like killing the baby today, you've got 9 months to decide. And you know what? Even if at the last moment, you know, it comes out of you, well, you know, you can have a chat with your doctor and then you can decide what to do with it. This is what we've come to as a society. There is no righteousness here. There is no holiness here. There's no reverence or repentance. There's no godliness. So don't you dare tell me that Trump was somehow God's way of telling America it's not going to get judged. It was a stay of execution. And this is what our faith leaders are doing. This is what our pastors are doing. They're signing letters calling for abortions to be kept legal and easily accessible. What are you doing today, Shaniqua? Well, I was going to go kill my baby, but it's nice out, so let's go to the beach. We can do it tomorrow. I am lost for words. My mind hurts. And this is their justification. Because we trust pregnant people. It's not even pregnant women anymore. They've bought into this nonsense that men can have babies too. So now they're pregnant people. Look, I'm sorry. I'm not worried about global warming destroying the planet in 12 years. If this keeps going, we'll burn it ourselves. We will be so utterly disgusted with what we have become as a species. We will look in the mirror and see the grotesque visage of what we have become. And we'll light the thing on fire. If you tell me we deserve to prosper, given all the things that we're seeing happening today in society and culture, then I'm sorry, you're insane. Because we trust pregnant people. We know that these decisions are informed by tremendous reflection and not taken lightly. Really? Really? Have you seen today's millennial generation? Can you honestly say that they've ever had moments of tremendous reflection? I've seen people with the McDonald's logo tattooed on their cheek. Their face, the cheek of their face. I'm not even talking about places that you can cover up. I've seen people with a middle finger tattoo on their forehead. Yes, they look like people who are given to tremendous reflection. What is happening to Tennessee? Maybe it's something in the water. I don't know. Maybe Alex Jones were right. It's turning the frogs gay and preachers antichrist. Because that's the only way you can describe it. There is no other way around it. I'm sorry. 150 pastors of differing denominations have declared that they are antichrist. Because rather than call for abstinence, rather than call for a decrease in sexual promiscuity, they called for abortions to be kept legal and easily accessible in Tennessee. There's nowhere else to go. We've hit rock bottom. And apparently these people are still digging. They've got the shovels and they're still digging. And the next great battle is going to be pedophilia. What was it? Somebody sent me this. And I had it on my phone. Snapchat put out a thing that says that love has no age or love sees no age. There's no age limits to love. There was an outcry and they took it down. But they always float these trial balloons. What Snapchat was saying is, hey, kids aren't off limits anymore. This is 2019. Is this the kind of culture you want to live in? If it's not, then why aren't you doing something about it? Why are you at ease? Why are you comfortable? I haven't been comfortable in 30 years. Even in those moments of the most glorious bliss, when I see my daughters playing or the little one learning to ride her tricycle, I'm still not comfortable. I'm still on pins and needles because I understand what society has become. And I understand that there's only two possible outcomes. Either we reverse course, either we repent, either we fall at the foot of the cross and acknowledge our sin, or we self-destruct. We become rabid animals just clawing at each other. So let's get back to the 150 religious leaders that made Tennessee so proud and their letter. Because, you know, they trust pregnant people to make decisions after tremendous reflections. When a person decides that abortion is their best option, they need community support, not obstacles preventing safe access to medical care. Why didn't the person decide not to be a whore? Valid question, isn't it? Why is it that these 150 religious leaders aren't out on every street corner in Tennessee with bullhorns just yelling, "Don't be a whore"? Because in order to get pregnant, you must have done something naughty. Now, if the church was doing its job in teaching abstinence and no sex before marriage, then perhaps there would be a lot less pregnant persons that would have to decide whether abortion is their best option. Why are they calling it abortion? It's killing a baby. Is killing a baby your best option? Is it ever an option? That's the question they should have asked. Is murdering an innocent, defenseless baby ever an option? Well, to 150 religious leaders in Tennessee, of course it is. And sometimes, killing the baby is the best option. If you're not disgusted, we're just getting started. I want to finish out this article and talk to you about a man named Nathan Larson. Because evil exists. That's the one thing, that's the one takeaway that I need you to cling to today. Remind yourself every single day that evil exists. And the next thing that you need to remind yourself is that it's your duty to stand against evil. That simple. That's the exercise. A, evil exists. B, it's my duty to stand up against evil. In what fashion? That's between you and God. Whether you run for city council or mayor or governor, whether you donate money to pro-life groups that are out there trying to keep babies from getting murdered, while religious leaders in Tennessee are signing letters saying, we need to keep abortion on demand accessible. Not just accessible, but easily accessible. Like buying Twinkies or Tic Tacs at the local stop and go. This spring, state lawmakers have been considering several pro-life measures, including a bill to ban abortions after an unborn baby's heartbeat is detectable, and another to ban abortions completely once Roe versus Wade is overturned. In January, Lee said he supports legislation to protect unborn babies. So, again, once a baby's heartbeat is detectable, tick-tock, tick-tock, a beating heart means there is a life inside that womb. It means that a spark of divinity has been placed within that vessel. It is a human being. But you know, why split hairs? Let's just keep abortion legal and easily accessible. Look, I've come to the conclusion that some of these so-called religious leaders don't believe in God. They're atheists at heart. They went through seminary and they've got college loans to pay. But they don't believe. There is no way you can have this position and still believe in a sovereign almighty God or in the God of the Bible. There's no way, absolutely no way. You cannot reconcile the God of the Bible in this position that more than 150 religious leaders took. The religious leaders urged Lee to oppose not just the heartbeat bill, but all attempts to criminalize and restrict abortion access. They argued that lawmakers should trust women to decide whether to abort their unborn babies. Pastors, religious leaders. It wasn't some screaming harpy on television. It wasn't some barren old woman wearing a pink hat yelling outside an abortion clinic with a sign and trying to beat up pro-lifers. It was pastors. Men who represent God, whose sole responsibility is to point the way to Christ and teach you the good news of the gospel. Never once did they raise the idea that our churches, these 150, will financially support young women until they give birth, and if they so choose, we will help them give the baby up for adoption. There are other measures that one can take besides murdering their child. There are options. But see, 150 pastors in Tennessee saw no other option. Why talk to them about putting the baby up for adoption? Why talk to them about helping them once they give birth to take care of the child? No siree, Bob. Not us. We've got limousines to buy. We've got airplanes in the sky. Why would we give to help mothers keep their babies? That's just preposterous. I have my eye on a new Bentley. So you know what? Kill it. Kill it, kill it, kill it. Legal and easily accessible. Because you know what? We trust women to decide whether to abort their unborn babies. See, when these women see no other option, it becomes easier for them to stop a beating heart. It becomes easier for them to kill their babies. But if 150 of these religious leaders, and I use the term loosely, and one day they will cry out as the rich man from hell, for a drop of water, and no one will give it to them, and deservedly so. If all these 150 religious leaders stood outside every abortion clinic in Tennessee and explained to the women walking in that they would finance the birth of the child, set up adoption, or help them raise their child, how many do you think would have changed their minds? How many do you think would have had second thoughts? How many do you think would have carried the baby to full term and had it and held it in their arms and realized how glorious a thing it is to create human life? How many lives could have been saved if 150 pastors did their job and try to preserve life instead of make it easy and accessible to kill children in the womb? While there are varied opinions on abortion based on religious beliefs, as persons with deep faith commitments, we affirm a person's right to decide when to become a parent or expand their family, they wrote. You have no deep faith. You have no religious beliefs. You are antichrists. The jaws of hell have extended to receive you. You are walking corpses damned to hell. That's all you are. Enjoy the Bentley and the private jet. It was purchased with the blood of innocents. Because instead of going into the coffers, instead of putting the, you know, church expansion on hold for a few years and helping a few mothers raise their kids, you decided the best course of action was to sign a letter calling for abortions to be kept legal and easily accessible. Bravo, Tennessee. While there are varied opinions on abortion based on religious beliefs, as persons with deep faith commitments, we affirm a person's right to decide when to become a parent or expand their family. How about a person's right to abstain? That never crossed your lips, did it? Nope. So you never included the option of adoption. You never included the option of helping a young girl or a young woman deliver the baby and care for it until she's able to do it on her own or finds a life mate. You never encouraged abstinence among the citizenry of your state. But you're more than willing to sign your name to a letter calling for abortions to be kept legal and easily accessible. As people of faith, and as Tennesseans, we believe in loving our neighbors and treating one another as we would like to be treated, with compassion, dignity, and respect. Bologna sandwich. You are a ghoul. You are a son of your father, the devil. You are doing the devil's bidding. God will heap judgment upon you in ways that I dare not imagine, because you are strengthening the hand of the wicked, and you are making the heart of the righteous sad. Yet, and look, I love the fact that the person who wrote this article saw past this. And he says, yet they have no compassion or respect for unborn babies who are unique, living human beings from the moment of conception. Bravo, whoever penned this article. By 6 weeks, their hearts already are beating, and by 9 weeks, they have detectable brain waves. However, religious leaders said the decisions to end unborn babies' lives should be left up to the mother. Her decisions brought her to this place. How trusting should we be of her decision-making abilities? Her decisions thus far brought her to a place where she is pregnant and seeking to murder the baby inside her belly. How trusting should we be of her decision-making ability? Just a question. Logical inference, if you will. However, religious leaders said the decision to end unborn babies' lives should be left up to the mother. While decisions concerning pregnancy can be complex and difficult, I believe that all persons have the right to make decisions for themselves in consultation with their doctors and faith leader where appropriate, said Reverend Judy Hoffman, a co-pastor at East End Methodist Church in Nashville. If that church is still open and people are still going to that church, then God forgive you, because I can't. If Reverend Judy is still co-pastoring the East End Methodist Church, then every single person that attends that church, every single member that still ties to that church, has put their hand in with death. You will be held accountable for letting Reverend Judy think that her actions and what she said are perfectly fine. Hendersonville pastor Napoleon Harris, another signer, told lawmakers they should focus on making sure families can make a living wage rather than restrict abortion. Again, if Napoleon Harris is still a pastor, if you still attend the church of Napoleon Harris and tithe to this son of Satan, you have put in your hand with death. You have put your hand in with evil. How about helping him out, Napoleon? How about, you know, one less visit a month to the Gucci store and helping a family out, you know, making sure they have a living wage? This decision is one that should be prayerfully made by families. Again, may I submit that if you are seeking an abortion, chances are better than good that being prayerful was not one of your more earnest endeavors in life. Because if you were a prayerful person, it means you'd be going to church, and if you were going to a church that is worth its salt, you would have been taught to abstain. Again, back to my previous statement, don't be a whore. The letter was signed by pastors and other religious leaders and activists who identify as Methodist, Presbyterian, Baptist, Lutheran, United Church of Christ, Unitarian, Universalist, African Methodist Episcopal, Catholic Episcopal, Brethren, Seventh-day Adventist, Anglican, and Nazarene. All Christian denominations. If you belong to any of the aforementioned denominations, leave. Period. Full stop. If you belong to any of the aforementioned denominations, get out. Find another church, start your own home group, start your own Bible study. I don't care. Because these are the false prophets and teachers that Jesus warned of in Matthew 24. They are the ones who will deceive many. Now, if that wasn't enough, in the little time we have left, I want to introduce you to Nathan Larson. Now, Nathan Larson is running for a congressional seat in Virginia, and he is an admitted pedophile and rapist. Oh, the only reason I look as old as I do is because of stories like this. Honestly, Nathan Larson, a self-declared racist and ex-con who advocates for pedophilia and rape, is running for Congress in Virginia's 10th District. I just swallowed back a little vomit, sorry. While speaking to HuffPo on Thursday, the 37-year-old independent candidate from Charlottesville told the publication he identifies as a quasi-neo-reactionary libertarian, whatever that is, who is open about his pedophilia so as to remain unconstrained by political correctness. The man should be castrated, chemically or otherwise. Then he should not be allowed within 1,000 yards of any school, church, or place where children congregate, such as a park. Period. End of story. But see, I guarantee you that news outlets will pick this up and they will spin this man into the next Harvey Milk, because this is where it's going. And when I was talking about this 3 years ago and 4 years ago and 5 years ago, people were writing and going, oh, you know, they got the gay thing. I don't think they're going to go for pedophilia. Really? Because you know the devil will stop halfway. No, he never stops. The devil never stops. A lot of people are tired of political correctness and being constrained by it, Larson told the outlet. People prefer when there's an outsider who doesn't have anything to lose and is willing to say what's on a lot of people's minds. Contraire, mon frère. Pedophilia is not on a lot of people's minds. But see, this is the spin. Oh, so many people want to do it. Nobody has the courage to say it. Let's make him a hero. Oh, why? Because it has to be. Look, if you don't know that these things are going on, then you're living in a bubble, and I need to burst your bubble. It's for your own good. stop sitting there gazing at your navel and realize that we are under assault, under attack. Society is being eroded. If a man can admit to being a pedophile and run for Congress in Virginia's 10th district, where else are we going to go? Larson confirmed in an interview that he created the now defunct website Supid, whatever that means, online forums for pedophiles and violence-minded misogynists. Larson, who was asked whether he identifies as a pedophile or just created content about pedophilia, told the publication, "It's a mix of both. When people go over the top, there's a grain of truth to what they say." Larson also said there was a grain of truth to an essay he penned on father-daughter incest and another about raping his ex-wife repeatedly, saying that many women have rape fantasies. This man is running for Congress. Congress makes the laws that governs your life. Now, I would submit that if you happen to live in Virginia's 10th district, you should run for Congress as a believer, as a Christian, as someone who's not advocating for incest, pedophilia, and rape. I'm sure you'll get a few more votes than Mr. Larson there. But see, it seems like good people have checked out. There's a few here and there. There's a few sparks that go, hey, look, this is a decent human being. Who'd have thunk it? In Congress. But for the most part, it's the dregs of society. It's people like Mr. Larson who need to be chemically castrated and put in a dark hole for the rest of his life that have the gumption to run for government. And then there are enough stupid people, because there's no other way I can say it, that will vote for him, and there you are. Mr. Larson, self-proclaimed pedophile rapist and, what is it, incest proponent, member of Congress. That's how it happens. That's how you lose your culture. That's how you lose your society, by doing nothing and saying nothing. Oh, it's not my place. You know, our home is not of this earth. No, it's not. But you're still here. And you've got kids. And just imagine the hellhole that your kids will have to live through because you kept silent and said nothing. Just a thought. The independent candidate has a daughter who reportedly lives with relatives and whom he has only seen once. I wonder why. According to the Washington Post, which also reported on his candidacy, his ex-wife secured a court-mandated restraining order against Larson in 2015 before she killed herself. These are the kinds of people running for government. Because you won't. These are the kinds of people that are going to legislate what you can do, what you can't do. And it's not going to focus on incest and pedophilia, apparently, because, hey, Mr. Larson gives them a thumbs up. But it's going to focus on those pesky Christians, on those people who are a buzzkill by saying that homosexuality is sin. Oh, see, I'm going to have to go home and take a shower after this. I feel dirty just reading about this man. His campaign manifesto includes stopping the war on drugs, eliminating all regulations regarding firearms, and putting an end to U.S. involvement in foreign wars arising from our country's alliance with Israel. In the manifesto, Larson also referred to Adolf Hitler as a white supremacist hero, argued in a section supporting gun rights that guns don't kill people, feminists do, and said he wants to protect benevolent white supremacy, in addition to legalizing child pornography and incestuous marriage. That's what they call burying the lead. Those last few words, legalizing child pornography and incestuous marriage, they should have led with that, but they didn't, and there's a reason. I would not be at all surprised if Mr. Larson doesn't become the new hero of the left. The new Harvey Milk of pedophilia and incest, apparently. Remember, just remember, evil exists. It's your job to stand against it. Evil exists. Mr. Larson is proof positive. 150 faith leaders, from Methodist to Baptist to Lutheran to Unitarian to whatever else, is proof positive. Evil exists. It is your duty to stand up against it. And with that, I am done for today. I'm going to go home and take a very hot shower because I have to wash Mr. Larson off my skin. Gino, if you've got anything to say, the floor is yours. Thank you all for joining us, and God bless you. We'll see you next week.
Well, I think that how low can you go? Such an horrible, abhorrent situation to see 150 pastors in Tennessee, the Bible Belt, by the way, come out for abortion. By the way, Pat Robertson, how in the world does he continue on TV, come out for abortion? And advocate that the law in Alabama went too far. That's just what the Bible says in Timothy. You know, in the last days, perilous times will come. We're there. And, you know, you got to ask yourself, when is God going to say enough's enough? I mean, it's tragic. And I was looking at the list of pastors that signed that letter. You know, yeah, it was Baptist, Methodist, Presbyterian, the whole gamut that Mike read about, and probably people of significant size churches. And then you ask the question, why won't parishioners hold that pastor accountable? Why won't they demand that a pastor literally know that life is sacred to God? And, you know, there's this, my people perish for lack of knowledge. Well, you know what? I think people perish when they're in a church and the leader's reprehensible like that. And they must have to be following the person and not Christ, because there's no way that people that know their Bible should ever endorse those pastors. And I would go further to state that in Franklin, Tennessee, Carrie Underwood, the country singer's pastor a few years ago, came out for not only gay marriage, but he marched in the gay pride parade. And this is why the buckle is broken in the Bible Belt and why judgment's coming. And you want to believe in your heart of hearts, there'll be some form of stampede from the church against evil and vileness and that. But yet we sin in silence. We don't stand against it like we should. But either way, we will put the program up Friday morning for you to listen to. Thank you so much for tuning in to the Light of Truth, and please keep America in all the prayers you can muster up, because it is definitely fallen farther than most people would have ever thought.
Thank you for listening to today's broadcast, The Light of Truth, with Michael Baldea. If you would like to order a copy of today's broadcast, please visit our website at handofhelp.com. If you have questions about our ministry, you can email us at handofhelpoffice@aol.com. or simply call us at 920-206-9910. God bless you.